Say you're at brunch with a friend and the conversation's dragging. You might be fishing around for a snappy quote to wake things up. Maybe you're dying to know the exact name of that giant bottle of champagne in the window of the liquor store. Or you've forgotten the German word for garlic. Ben Schott has all the answers in his new book, Schott's Food and Drink Miscellany. And he joins us from our New York studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
So how do you say garlic in German?
That's a very good question. If only I knew. I'll have to look it up in the index now. it'll be something elaborate and guttural, I expect. Oh, actually, I am looking it up. Sorry.
Go right ahead.
It was a rhetorical garlic question.
Oh.
Knoblauch.
All right.
I don't know why you picked that, but anyway.
Where do you find these facts?
To be honest, the only way to really make sure that the facts are right is to go to the library and plough through the books, I'm afraid. I do that hard work, so you don't have to, Jennifer.
And do you think up these obscure, arcane questions and seek the answer, or do you just come across these things?
Well, that's a good question. It's a bit of both. I mean, I was quite keen to do something on, say, what food tastes like, because people say on page 61 of your hymn book, because people always say that everything tastes of chicken, which is, of course, nonsense, because I think chicken tastes of everything else. So I went through lots of archaic journals and books of travel, and a wonderful book called The Curiosities of Food, written in 1850. And you discover there that the giant water bug tastes of gorgonzola, the flying fox tastes of game, crocodile tastes of pork, lion tastes of beef, and swan tastes of game, and of course the Nephilis spider tastes of potato.
Oh, well, that's what it was.
Absolutely.
So what was the hardest fact that you intrepidly tracked down?
Well, actually, it's on the same page. Hippopotamus tastes of beef, which in itself is reasonably dull because it's a perfectly reasonable thing to taste of. But wonderfully, I discovered that Portuguese settlers in Africa were permitted to eat hippopotamus meat during Lent. Now, this was based on the somewhat tendentious ecclesiastical logic that as hippos spent so much time in the water, they could technically be classified as fish.
Okay. Is there really a market for this kind of book?
Well, it would appear so.
Terrifying. Here we are.
Terrifying, but it would appear so. I mean, I should say there are some useful things in the book. There's cooking temperatures and pan sizes and some, you know, useful recipes and how to make Melba toast and the Passover meal and slaves at a Roman feast. You know, some really useful things.
Right, but do people actually keep this in their kitchen as a cooking reference, or is it more suited to perhaps, I don't know, the bathroom?
I think two copies are necessary then if you're going to have it all over the house. So buy in bulk. The odd thing is that people do use it as a reference book, but they probably have to hunt from it around the house. It's rarely left in the kitchen, I think.
And do you have a favourite piece of information here?
Well, there's quite a lot. I'm quite fond of the Chiquita Banana song, but I'm sure for copyright reasons I'm not allowed to sing it. There's all sorts of things. There's an interesting bit of history about the Amish and how they traditionally laid out their table. So that the family, which is on page 84, so the father would sit at the head of the table, and then down one side all the sons would sit in ascending order of age. The mother would sit next to the father, and then down the other side the daughters would sit in ascending order of age. And it's a lovely fact. And one of the reasons why I was so keen to write a book on food and drink is that it stands at the crossroads between the mundane and the day-to-day we all have to eat, and the sort of the wonderfully obscure and esoteric. Food and drink tells us so much about the culture in which we live or the epoch in which we live, and we compare it to other cultures and other epochs, and it's always fascinating.
Ben Schott is the author of Schott's Food and Drink Miscellany and the man to turn to if you just don't know where to seat yourself if you're invited to an Amish dinner party. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.